Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
You are in the Huddle with me, Bram. No Maxine today, but with me per usual, my boy and producer, MT.
What's up, Dev Nation?
MT, I'm fired up to announce that rejoining us after hell of long, the sports director for Cron 4, a television anchor with experience in multiple markets, including Louisiana, North Dakota, and Maryland. A luminary voice on all things Warriors, both Golden State and Santa Cruz, and the only guy I know who may or may not have teared up during Jason Kelce's retirement speech yesterday, Mr. Jay Dumas. What's going on, Jay?
What's up, man? How you guys doing? Thanks for having me back on.
Yeah, of course, man. It's absolutely our pleasure. So you don't have to tell me if it's with Jason Kelce, but ever teared up or taken a retirement hard in any way in your career as a sports fan?
I wouldn't say I took it hard, like, whatever, he retired, but I definitely teared up during certain segments of that, like, 15-minute retirement speech. That was more as an Eagles fan, not as, like, a sports anchor, because, I mean, what, Kelce's been with the Eagles for 13 years? Yeah, that's a long time. I'm just, like, you know, almost half my life, not quite half my life, but almost half my life, he's been he's been on the team that I grew up rooting for, and he's very personable.
MT, when Jay told us that 13 years isn't quite half his life, did it make you feel old as fuck? I mean, it didn't me. I'm hella young. But, like, for you, did it make you feel super old or what?
It did. And I immediately started thinking, like, how 13 years is, like, you almost do dog years in NFL. That's a long career in the NFL.
Especially, like, on the offensive line, man. You know, I mean, that's I'd say the only thing that ages faster than dogs is NFL offensive linemen. I haven't. The hardest I've ever taken a retirement was Buster Posey. I haven't really taken one super hard yet. And I think it's coming. I mean, I'm sure that when some of the dynastic guys from this Warriors team start going down, there'll be tears, but it hasn't hit me yet. Are you, NT, anybody, any cry-worthy retirements in your career?
No, I haven't had an emotional connection like that, except for with Steph, Clay, and Dre in this squad. So, like you, I imagine it'll come when those guys hang it up. But other than that, you know, like, I was a little emotional when Ricky Henderson called it a career, but it's hard too when, you know, like, players play for different teams before they retire too. So you lose a little bit of that emotion to it when you see them in a different uniform before they call it quits.
I am way too young to know who Ricky Henderson is. I'm not sure. In fact, I'm only 18. Before we dig into that, let's move to the jump, Jay. So we got this new moves now where I'm just jumping right to what I feel to be the most important piece of Warriors information. And right now it doesn't take a degree to know what that is. Warriors are welcoming Wiggins back into the fold. I guess Andrew returned to the facility yesterday, Tuesday, practiced a little bit, and then was at the facility today. And I know even further, maybe more importantly, that you watched him and talked to him. What's the report, man? What'd you learn today about Andrew?
You know, in vintage peak Andrew, we didn't learn a whole lot in terms of the details of why he wasn't here and anything as it pertains to what prevented him from being with the teams. Not that any of us probably really expected that. Andrew is a very private person. He's kind of soft-spoken and introverted. But he, you know, some of the key things that I took from talking to him today was that he didn't work out all that much. He acknowledged it. He said he got in a couple, but it wasn't a priority. He said he is still dealing with the off-the-court personal issues. They're not entirely gone. He acknowledged that, but he said it was an appropriate time to rejoin the team. He said he did watch all of the Warriors games while he was out, and that the thing he took away most was it seems like they're having fun playing basketball again, and that's when they're at their best, and he's excited to join that fold. There's a lot of laughing and clowning around during his workout. I mean, I don't mean to say that in the sense where like he wasn't going hard, but he looked happy to be back is my point. So yeah, it's funny because Shams reported that he's on his way back to the Bay Area. And then 10 minutes later, we walk into the gym and he's already there. And Shams kind of came back out with like, yeah, he's at practice today. So I'm not sure if anyone really knows when exactly he got to town, because it was presented initially like, oh, he's on his way back now. And then I walk into the gym and he's in a full sweat. So he had been back for some time, but you know, he was only going four games. So, you know, these guys are world-class athletes, especially someone like Andrew Wiggins. So I don't expect it to be too long for him to get back into the swing of things. Sure. Steve made it seem like he is open to starting him, but he wouldn't commit to that just yet. But he was like, yeah, I don't see why he couldn't start. We haven't confirmed that yet. So who knows? He also said Moody has earned a rotation spot. So it doesn't sound like Moody is going to fall out of the rotation like he did before Andrew Wiggins took an excused leave of absence. So that rotation is going to get a little murkier because everyone is healthy now. You obviously always want everybody to be healthy, but the one blessing about people not being healthy was it made decisions easier for Steve. When GP2 is not in the lineup, it makes some easier decisions for Steve. When Pajemski past couple games not in the lineup, there's a pathway for other guys to play that is clearer. But the more bodies, the harder the decisions become for Steve Kerr, because this is a team where outside of like Steph and Draymond, there's a lot of parity and nobody's really just separated themselves from some of their teammates in the sense where he has to be playing a lot of minutes and, you know, no one else can be taking his minutes. You don't have a lot of that. Outside of Steph and Draymond, those, in my opinion, are the only two guys where it's like they have to play this amount of time. There ain't a soul on this roster who can impede that. Yep. Those are the only two I can say that about.
So I've got a bunch of follow-up questions on that, all right? But before we get to looking forward, look back at Wiggins for me, because it's the most Wiggins piece of information that you guys go into the practice facility and you're surprised to see him. That the Warriors didn't even give you like a, hey, he's out there. Or, you know, Shams did report, you might want to know. So I just want to make sure I'm right about that. Literally, until you went in and saw him already working out, the Warriors hadn't given you any heads up. It was a surprise to see him at the facility.
Yeah, especially so. Yeah, I went today not expecting him to be back. You know, I remember when I was tipped off last season when he came back. And even during that, even with that report, there was a little murkiness. Like, I reported that he is back in town. After I reported that, I was told that he's not back in town, but he was back in town. And then another report came out a couple days later that he will be coming back, that he's on his way back and he'll rejoin the team soon. So even with last year, there was some inconsistencies with some reporting. I stand on my reporting to this day. When I was told he's not back in town, I was like, I know he is. So maybe that was a case of the Warriors not actually knowing where he was and trying to cover themselves. Whatever the case might be, It's kind of the same thing. I don't know. I mean, I know the Chronicle, I believe, or the Mercury News reported that he got back on Monday. But Shams today reported that he's on his way back to town, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah.
So I saw that Shams part report. We all did. We all like kind of read it out loud as we're sitting in the media room. He's on his way back to the Bay Area. So I was like, all right, cool. We'll probably see him sitting on the bench tomorrow in street clothes. If he's not practicing today, I doubt he would like be suited up. And then he'll probably be back for the Bulls on Thursday. So we were all kind of surprised.
So I see the tweet from Shams saying he's traveling back. So I get all excited, you know, and I know we're recording today. So I want to fire up any questions I can about it. So I hop online. And the first thing I find is footage from your Twitter account showing in practice. So I was like, either Shams uses the phrase on his way back to town differently than I do, or he's a little bit behind the ball, and then saw the updated report. So it's exactly as you put out there. And then moving forward, yeah, rotations are going to be a little tight now. We'll see how Kerr does it. He's going to earn every cent of that $17 million a year that he is now reportedly getting paid. But before I get into specifics, let's put a bow on it. All right. So the Warriors have now played 60 games. They start the final 22 tomorrow, and they're in 10th place at 32-28. So I looked at the standings. Half a game out of ninth, that's LA. 1.5 out of eighth, that's Dallas. They still got 3 games against Dallas. 2 games out of seventh, Sacto. 2.5 out of sixth, Phoenix. Jay, if you had to bet something significant to you, what seed do the Warriors end up with at the end of the regular season?
See, the issue with where they are in the seedings is not how many games back they are. Like when you just say, oh, they're like 3 games back from like the fifth seed, or, you know, they're like, you know, 1.5 games back of 7. It's that number makes it seem like they can get there easily. The thing with them is they have to jump like 4 other teams.
Yep.
So they're like one of like 4 teams that are like really, really close. And that's always the issue, is jumping the other teams. I would say they're probably going to stay around 9-10.
Yeah.
And I think they can play well and still stay around there, because the Lakers are playing pretty well. Dallas is playing pretty well. So I don't even necessarily think, like, if the Warriors end up at the 9th or 10th spot, I don't necessarily predict that, because I think they're going to fall flat on their face. You said there's 16 games left?
20. There are 22 left.
So there's 22 games left. If the Warriors want to get to like 6 or 7, I think they have to win like 16, 17 games. So that's daunting. You know what I mean? Like, this is, just based on what we've seen this year, they're a pretty good team. I think they can make some noise in a postseason, depending on a matchup. I don't think they're just going to snap a finger and go on a run. I think it'll have to be a favorable matchup for them. If I had to bet, my long-winded answer to your question, if I had to bet money, I would bet 9. The one thing that I see that can help everybody, it kind of seems like the Kings are imploding.
Exactly what I was going to say. Yep, that's exactly
right. A lot of people are pointing at each other. Kings Twitter is like melting down. You can tell they're not used to having like winning teams. So it's like the microscope is really on them a lot. I think the world of Mike Brown as a coach and as a person, but I'm seeing all this Mike Brown criticism. So there's a lot of noise over in Sacramento. So maybe if they continue to implode and blow games against teams like the Bulls, maybe that's favorable for the Warriors and a couple teams can jump the Kings. But I mean, the Lakers just got a really great win the other night. You know what I mean?
I hated that. They beat OKC, and I was watching, hate watching that game. I mean, like, really, I didn't know who the hell I was rooting for, because I've kind of developed a hate for OKC too, but ultimately wanted the Lakers to lose. Jay, I agree with you. So what I wanted to point out is what you already have. I think Sacto's moving in the wrong direction. And with Devin Booker's ankle injury, maybe Phoenix slips, but it doesn't look like it's that nasty. And the other side is that the Lakers have found a stride kind of, and so's Dallas. So I think we might move up a couple of slots, but even then we're probably staring at that eighth spot. MT, what do you think, man? If you're betting a mortgage payment, where are you betting it?
I'm the same. If I'm betting something significant, I think we jump Sac and land the nine seed. I don't see us beating out the Lakers. I think Phoenix has enough talent with Beal and KD to weather Book being out for a little while. And, you know, I just, for the reasons you listed with the way Sac is going. So I think it's the nine seed, and I think we end up winning, getting in, and I think we play Minnesota in first round.
I found myself having this argument recently, Jay. We were trying to pick out teams we'd like to play, and we'll do that at some point in the future on this show. But what I found myself saying is that the Warriors are more Rocky than Drago now. And here's what I mean. So the question I'm going to ask you is, are they title contenders? You know, and the way I would answer it is, in the past, when they were dynastic, they weren't just title contenders. They were title fucking favorites. They were Drago from Rocky IV. If they lost, it would be a huge upset. Now it's switched, right? They're not completely out of it. There's not a 0.0% chance that they win a title, but it's a punk or a puncher's chance. It's Rocky. You know, everything's going to have to go exactly right. So in my mind, are they title contenders? Sure, but we're talking real long shot. Yeah. For you, do you view the Golden State Warriors as title contenders now that they are full strength? You know, we got everybody in, and let's say that Kerr, let's make this as optimistic as a question as we can. Everything works out fine. People maintain their health. Kerr figures out the rotations. They continue to have fun, you know, so the best version of this team. Do you view them as a title contender?
No. And really just comes down to how you define title contenders. Like, if I defined it your way, I guess I could like get myself there. Like, I could see it. But the way I look at it is, if they won a title or really challenged for one, like that means like, you know, made it to the Western Conference Finals and, you know, and played whoever they're in the Western Conference Finals against tough. That's how I view a finals contender, a championship contender. And I haven't seen enough from them. And I've been trying to see pathways for them to do that all year. I've been giving them a lot of benefits of the doubts. But the thing that concerns me the most is their record against the best teams.
Well, how about if they lose by 50 to Boston? Does that make you feel like they're definitely
It's funny because Boston is like one of the only title contending teams they beat this year. So even though they lost by 50 to them, they beat them up in San Francisco, might be their best win of the season. They'll have a chance against Milwaukee. Milwaukee's a title team, although they'll be without Giannis most likely, the way he was grimacing against the Clippers before that game. I'm not sure he'll be able to play, but they were still able to get a really good win against the Clippers. Yeah. But yeah, I'm talking about like, I'm thinking of the Nuggets, the Timberwolves, and the Thunder, really. Those are my three. Those are, I think it's going to be one of those three teams, and it's most likely going to be Denver. But the Warriors just haven't been great against those teams this year. And then, you know, obviously, if you look on the other side of the bracket, you got Milwaukee and Boston is probably a two-man race unless Joel Embiid comes back a week or two before the regular season's over and it shows he's healthy, because when Embiid and Maxey were both healthy, that was actually a top two team in the East as well. But yeah, I can't see a pathway to them beating those three top teams in the West in a seven-game series. I'm not saying they'd get blown out of the water. I think they would make it competitive, but they just haven't shown me anything this season where I'm like, oh, yeah, they got it.
I preferred when you were talking about Jason Kelsey's retirement speech. That one, you almost got a tear out of me during that explanation.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Mike Rowe here with a few thoughts on my favorite sweatshirt, a classic zip-up hoodie that used to be navy blue but has since faded to what the fashionistas call a distressed indigo. It's 13 years old, soft as a flannel bathrobe, and after a few hundred dirty jobs, demonstrably and undeniably indestructible. This is the kind of sweatshirt girlfriends like to permanently borrow, but I've held on to this one because I got it from American Giant. American Giant makes all their stuff right here in the USA, so they can control every link in their own supply chain. That matters, because when you buy American Giant, you not only get great quality, you create jobs for people in factory towns all over the country. No pressure, but if you give a damn about the business of making things in America, you got to support the companies who are doing it right. Go to American-Giant.com/Mike to get 20% off your first order. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.
MT, let's ask you a related question going forward, because Jay already dropped a name, but I want to see if you agree. What player on this roster not named Steph Curry is the most important for these final 22 games?
I think it's Wiggins. I think Clay is embracing and will figure out his role off the bench. You pair him with CP3 and they'll get that going. Kuminga is kind of on the fringe of if Steph and Draymond are the two non-negotiables about getting their minutes. I think JK is the next one up in that conversation. So I think the wild card is just Wiggins. I mean, he was the reason why we won the last championship, just because of his defense and play on both sides of the ball. So I think if he comes back and we get, you know, 20-point Andrew Wiggins lockdown defense, I think that opens up some more possibilities. But you know, I'm with Jay. I don't see the path there. I think it depends on the draw. If we somehow miss Denver and they get beat, like we match up with Minnesota in the first round and we find a way to get past them and OKC takes out Denver for whatever reason, I don't think they would. I think the inexperience of OKC is something that we can overcome in a 7-game series. So, but you know, I think it's whoever goes from the West is just going to go hit the buzzsaw. That's the Celtics, you know, barring any injuries, I think it's their year. And
Are you doing my favorite move where you go back a question and actually answer one that's no longer pending? Because that's what the fuck it feels like. And you know, I hate it. We're just going to erase everything you just said 1,000%. I heard what you said with Wiggins. I'm going to disagree slightly. Kuminga. And I'm actually stealing this from Draymond. When Draymond took the mic shortly after punking Bunte, which we should probably talk about in a second here, what he said was the reason the Warriors have turned it around recently wasn't because of his return. Draymond's return was because of Kuminga's development. And I agree. And of the things that we can count on, I feel like I can count on Steph. I feel like I can count on Draymond. I don't know for sure if Kuminga can continue to be the second leading scorer on this team, and that's what we're going to need. So I think it's Kuminga a little bit over Wiggins. Jay, we've vamped enough. What do you think, man? Who's the second most important person on this team going forward?
Well, I mean, so for the sake of our conversation, I'm going to pretend it's not Draymond, because I think it's Draymond and Steph. Yep. By far the top two for what they bring on the opposite ends of the floor. Obviously, Steph offensively, Draymond defensively, and just really kind of the tone he sets with the team. Yep. He has his head on, and he's like locked in, and he's not worried about the kind of theatrics that surround the actual basketball game, which he hasn't at all since he returned. I think he's just such a tone setter for the whole entire organization, really, even with Steve Kerr. But after those two, man, I would have to go with Marcus, what Marcus said too, with Wiggins. Like, I know Kuminga, like, and that's with me expecting Kuminga just, he's arrived and he's going to kind of play at this level or teeter around it for the rest of the year, which is good. And the Warriors definitely need him to be at that level or around it. I'm not going to hold him to like his crazy standard because he's been on a stretch that is like he's on a heater. So like you got to maybe think just being realistic, it might teeter a little down a little. But even if he's near that level, good. And the Warriors need it. Yeah. But I think when Wiggins plays at a level that he played at during the 2021 season, obviously, and then during spurts, even like the last 2 weeks before he went on his leave, I think he is what takes them to another level. Like I said, I can't see them beating the Denvers or the Minnesotas or the OKCs, but that's also because I haven't seen consistency out of Wiggins. If he somehow puts it together and he gets back to a level over the next month that is like a high level, that means you got Draymond, Steph, Wiggins, and Kuminga all playing like high-level basketball. And those are like probably the four most important positions on the floor because like Wiggs and Kuminga and Draymond can do a lot defensively and they're wings and they're athletic. And then Steph obviously is just Steph. And then like when what you get from CP3 and Clay and Moody and Pods, that's kind of just like the cherries on top.
Sure. Icing on the cake, sure.
But if you got those four playing all at a high level, the Warriors roster becomes very dynamic.
I like that a lot. Well, I don't like it a lot because you agreed with Marcus, but I understand what you're saying and where it came from. Let me ask you guys some rotation questions, and I'm going to ramp up to the hardest one, all right? So going forward, who do you boys think will play more minutes? This is, I think, the easiest. Lester Quinones or Moses Moody?
I mean, I know who should play more minutes, but, I mean, shoot. As of like 2 games ago, Lester was getting more minutes than Moody. Now, I think it's because Steve just likes Lester at guard more.
Yeah.
I can see the rationale behind it. Don't get me wrong, but I just think Moses has built up way too much equity in this organization. He's done everything he's asked to do. He shows a great attitude and maturity for someone his age, where most people would have been like, F this. Yep. Like Kuminga did. What Kuminga said, he's lost trust in Steve Kerr. Like he said, F this. So like, I think you need to reward someone for that. And it's not like Moses Moody is getting minutes and hurting anybody. He's playing good minutes. So I know Steve might like the way Lester plugs in at guard, like a little more naturally than Moses, but I still don't think there should be any situation where Lester is playing when Moses isn't.
I'm with you on that 100% and loved earlier when you said that Kerr suggested that Moses has earned a spot in this rotation because I hope you're right. All right, next one, a little bit harder. Who gets more minutes going forward, Klay Thompson or Chris Paul?
I'll let you take this one, Marcus.
I'm going to say Klay, but barely. I think we need his scoring punch off the bench, and I think we still manage CP3's minutes to make sure we have him for the playoff run.
Health, right?
Assuming we get there.
No, I was going to use the same phrase, health, which is a weird thing to say since it's Klay coming off 2 major injuries, but I think they want to keep CP3 minutes down, which leads to the last one, and it's one you boys have already kind of talked about. Who gets more minutes going forward, Jonathan Kuminga or Andrew Wiggins? I say Kuminga for reasons that I've already explained. I think they're going to lean on him, and I think they're going to really explore what he can provide offensively with a full squad. But what you guys said resonates. You know, he's exceptionally important, and he's more of a defender than Kuminga is. So what do you think? Who gets more minutes? And after this, I have a question that I am so excited to ask.
I'm going to say JK for a couple of reasons. One, I think, like you said, Bram, I think the Warriors are going to lean on him a little more because they do view him as the future of the franchise isn't the right thing to say, because I don't think they're of that thinking right now. They still have Steph, who they believe is in his prime. Like, Steph is the present and the future. But, like, in terms of just, like, you know, a natural progression, I think they see Kuminga becoming a really, really good player in this league, and someone who can complement Steph. And Joe Lacob likes the fact that he's homegrown and all that stuff. So I think they're going to lean into him just because Joe Lacob's like, this is what I want out of him. Yeah. So just from by default, they're going to do that. And I just think he has shown more consistency than Andrew Wiggins, and he's been more present. Like, it's just, it is what it is. I'm not blaming Andrew for not being around, but he hasn't been around. That's just a fact. It's not an opinion. JK has been there every day. He's doing everything he's asked for. His shot selection has become much better. Because I know that was something that they were really getting on him about. He's doing some of more of the hustle plays that they always wanted from him. Like, it just seems like his basketball IQ has kind of steadily got better. And that was really what was holding him back from a coaching standpoint. Some of the IQ stuff, the plays and the natural feel and the hustle plays, all the stuff that Moses Moody does, actually. Like, they wanted more of that from Jonathan Kuminga. And he's shown it. So I just think he's a safer bet. But I do think if they're both playing at their best, and given everything Wiggins has seen in his career, just a little more mature, a better point of attack defender, if they're both playing at their best, I would give Wiggins the nod, at least as it stands today. Maybe a year from now or 2 years from now, like, Kuminga might blow him out the water. But right now, man, you won a championship with Andrew Wiggins being your second best player.
MD, like, I was going to say this.
If that guy returns, like, if that guy's returns, it's better than what Kuminga can give you right now, I think.
I'm just going to give this public compliment here. I was going to wait till we went offline, but I'll just say it on air. Jay is one of my favorite guests. You guys already know that. We just saw one of the reasons why, how fucking professional it was. He just explained to me why Kuminga is probably going to get more minutes, but then ended up still supporting his answer that Wiggins is more important than Kuminga. So nicely, it's not my most favorite part of your appearance today. My favorite part of your appearance today was when you said, I stand on my reporting from last year that Wiggins was in town. Basically a fuck you to anybody who questions you out. Yeah, exactly right. I like that idea, but I won't get us distracted. Instead, I'll push us to our last question. All right. And it's one I'm really excited to hear the answer. So no more Warriors. This is just a random fun question that I want your opinion on. So imagine, Jay, that you have a magic button in front of you. And if you press that magic button, you can pick any person who's ever been associated in the NBA to be the subject of a documentary that is just tell all. Anything associated with this person, all the truth would come out whether or not they wanted it. All right. And you can pick the person. Who would you pick that documentary to be about? To give you some time, because I didn't prep you for this question, to think about it. I'll go first, and I got a couple of answers. And they both, on the surface, don't seem that sexy, but I feel real good about it. Answer number one, David Stern. I feel like if you got this dude to just be all the way open, we would get all the dirt, right? We'd get the dirt on Jordan's retirement. You know, did he actually leave because of baseball? Right. Was there something else going there? But maybe more importantly, we'd get all the shady shit that he was doing while the league was just kind of getting underway. You know, so did he push Ewing to New York? Did he screw over the FBI with the Donaghy investigation? Just all the various shit that was there. I think a D. Stern documentary would be incredible. My next one is a little self-serving, but I think it's gold. Steve Kerr. And here's why. All right. Take away the dynastic shit. Not even about the Warriors. All right. This fool had a career that put him up close and personal with Jordan, Pippen, Rodman, David Robinson, Manu, Tim Duncan, Popovich, Phil Jackson, and then the Jailblazers, that fucking team that was boarding like buses trying to fight. You know, and then add that he gave birth to the modern dynasty and played, or at least coached with, Kerr and Draymond and everyone else there. I think his documentary would be unbelievable. So that's my pick. Probably D. Stern first, because the shit he gave us would be more salacious. You know, it'd be national news, but we'd get some good stuff. All right. I took up some time. What do you boys got? Anybody press the button? Who should the documentary be on?
That's a great question. And I'll go political. I'm not a fan of his, but I would like to just all hands on deck, no censorism, nothing. I would just want to see just Donald Trump's story and how horrific it was. And, you know, one day we're probably going to get some of the things that went on from 2016. I want to say 2016 to 2020, but I mean, still present day, you got a lot going on. I want that documentary, and I want like real journalism. Like, I want people that are going to blow the roof off, like the same people who blew the roof off on the Watergate scandal. Like, I'm talking journalists who ain't afraid to like get death threats and people like knocking on their door, because a lot of high power people are going to lose their job and be ashamed when some of these truths come out. So that's what I would be interested in seeing. And it doesn't even honestly have to be Trump. I want our politicians held accountable. You know what I mean? And I think everybody on every spectrum could probably agree with that. Just, I want high powered people who literally affect our lives on a daily basis with legislation and lawmaking and their decisions. I just want them held accountable, and I want to know the real them, not what we get in those little White House press briefings.
I went from being so incredibly proud of my answer to feeling like my answer was so trivial and bullshit. I mean, like, can I go second now? Is there some way that I can immediately delete what it was that I said?
I thought for a second to say Wiggins, so we could kind of get to the bottom of what's been going on with him. But Wiggins is just, you know, if we can go any person in the world, Wiggins doesn't move enough weight. Sorry.
I'll give you two answers that'll make you feel better, Bram. How about that?
I appreciate it. But first, let me say, I love the, yep, I want a documentary that will blow the doors off like politics forever. And then second, Wiggins. I mean, just to see it's right there. And then the Trump documentary, I like the idea of having like footage of Trump doing something, and then it's him being interviewed, being like, nope, didn't happen. And then it's just footage of him doing something. And then again, be like, no, fake news. Fuck that guy a million times. But go ahead, MT, two answers that'll make me feel better.
Both mine are going to stay in the NBA family. First one is Scott Foster. I feel like you get, you know, the real deal of what happened with Tim Donaghy and how the refs really approached the game. And you could get, you know, if it's blow the roof off and, you know, blow the doors open, truth telling. I think it'd be very interesting to see what he says and how much he can confirm if there's some rigging of games going on. And then second, softer answer, but still, I think interesting, is Ish Smith. So I was watching a game, and he was crowned the player that's played for the most amount of teams in the NBA. So 13. And I just think it'd be interesting to hear his take on all the different franchises and all the different locker room fights and things that have stayed private, but he could tell us what happened. Cause you know, we hear about it from what we hear from the Warriors, but to have that times 13 from, you know, a single source would be interesting to see what he's learned and what his takes are about the NBA franchises across the league.
If you had given me 1,000 guesses, literally 1,000 guesses, Bram, 1,000 guesses to tell me who Marcus is going to put out there, Ish Smith would not have been my 1,000. Like, you've given me 10,000 guesses, I wouldn't have guessed Ish Smith. Donaghy, I love. And doesn't it?
Foster.
Foster, same fucking person. Scott Foster ultimately gave a documentary, I feel like it'd be like Colonel Jessup from A Few Good Men. Like, he'd want to tell us. You know, he'd want to be like, you can't handle the truth. And there'd be a little bit of time. And then he'd want to tell us how important he is. In fact, it wouldn't shock me if that documentary's coming, you know, 10, 15 years down the line when Foster is finally out of the league. Jay, missed you, man. Missed you. Really appreciate having you back. I know I'm not alone. For people who need far more Dumas in their life, where do they turn?
Yeah, you just Jay Dumas reports on Twitter and Instagram. And then you can catch me on Crime 4 News about 6:45 and 10:45 Sunday through Thursday. And then you can also see me on the Santa Cruz Warriors broadcast. I do all their home games. I'm on the sideline. Our next game is on Sunday at Chase Center. So that'll be a fun one.
You know where to reach us instead of going through that. I actually have a piece of very special news. I wasn't going to announce this till later, but I'll do it now. We are working on an Ish Smith documentary. It's going to be incredible. It's going to blow the doors off of everything you thought you knew about the NBA. So stay tuned. With that in mind, go Warriors. Hopefully, see you real soon.
Good, good.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.